weekly City Hall update. How are you, Mayor?
I'm doing well, Joe. How about yourself?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate the opportunity.
I'm actually looking out my window onto the Hancock Adams Common as we speak, and I see they're blowing out the sprinkler systems for the season.
Oh.
That's definitely a sign that it's over.
Yes. Yeah, we couldn't push it any longer. It's going to be 29 degrees tonight. So.
Yeah.
It was nice to have the fountain going, though, for the Veterans Day ceremony last week.
Yeah. We try to keep both fountains, water elements, or three of them, actually going until normally the Christmas parade, you know. But
yeah.
There'll be none of that this year, so
great.
We'll see. We'll watch the weather and see when we shut them down.
Yeah. Any progress on getting the fountain at the entrance to the Mount Wollaston Cemetery on C Street going? That a lot of folks don't know about that, but that is a beautiful fountain.
Yeah, well, it actually is not a true fountain.
Oh.
I mean, its original location was in Quincy Center, actually between the Hancock Adams and President's Place.
Oh.
And it was really a horse trough. And horses would stop and drink out of it. So it's kind of more of a bubbling down water into the bowl, and the horses could drink out of the bowl.
I see.
So it wasn't a real true fountain as we know them as, you know. So
yeah.
We're looking at some major changes at the entrance to Mount Wollaston with a historic renovation of the entrance. But there'll be a home for that somewhere, but it will be moved from its present location.
Oh, it will. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of folks don't know about it. Wasn't there an iron archway at one point also?
It was not iron. It was granite, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was taken down back in the late 50s because of the trucks were hitting it, and it became a problem. It was very good, in my opinion, looking back. It was kind of stupid.
Okay.
Trucks could have used the other entrance on Greenleaf Street, but
right.
But they pulled it all apart. So we're going to be doing a really handsome restoration down there, which will include granite and some beautiful wrought iron work.
Oh, look forward to that. Yeah, I've seen some of Tom Galvin's pictures, you know, from the old postcards of that
right.
entrance, and it's really interesting to watch. Speaking of downtown, it's starting to look a little bit more like Christmas.
Indeed. Yes. Though we had to cancel the parade and we had to cancel the weekend events, the formal events, including the formal event of turning the lights on, which traditionally always happened the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But we never doubted putting the lighting up. I think that we probably do it as well, if not better, than most communities around us. And we get great comments every year from families enjoying the light show. So I think this year is more important than any year. I think people need it with all that's going on in the world. And things can get depressing, you know. Winter's upon us, the pandemic, we got a surge going. So it can easily get down. And I think a beautiful Christmas and holiday displays with the nice lights is a lift. I think people enjoy it, and hopefully they'll enjoy it as much this year as in the past.
Yeah. Where did the tree come from this year?
Well, we get two different trees. There's one that's on the lawn area that came from a home on Park Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and there's one on the courtyard area, if you will, between City Hall and the church, that came from a home up on Whitwell Street. So they're both local trees,
oh.
donated by local residents.
Very nice.
They were getting too big for where they were in their yards, so we were glad to take them, and as part of the deal, we'll replace them with new trees in the spring for them.
Nice. It'll make for a nice festive atmosphere. And that's the true promise of Christmas, right?
Absolutely.
Is light in the darkness, yeah.
The other thing with those size trees, if they have to travel a long distance, the branches really can take a beating and get broken. So just being around the corner, it makes for a better quality tree in the end.
Sure. It'll make for a nice atmosphere for the Quincy Chamber of Commerce Winter Market at Kilroy Square. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen with all the numbers, but... We'll let Mr. Cahill make that decision. The numbers aren't good, so
yeah.
I'm not sure that's going to be pulled off.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see on that, just like everything
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Asterisks. Quincy is still in the green, though.
We are. I mean, the new matrix makes a lot of sense. Yeah, a lot of people who ask me about this, they're confused. And I see, when you think about it, you know, only 8 people in 100,000 and put us in the red, the extreme zone, didn't make a lot of sense to me. So
mm-hmm.
I think the number combined with the positivity rate gives a little bit more, science to it, if you will, a little
mm-hmm.
bit more backup, and I think it has more merit. So, we're still, we had a nice day Sunday. We only had 6 new cases, but I think it was 21 new ones yesterday. So we're still on that double digit in the last couple of weeks, which is, but our positivity rate is reasonable. It's low compared to some other communities. So that's a good thing, you know.
It's, let's see, 1.75%, so under 2%, where it's pretty much where it stayed, makes it all important to keep those practices up, right?
The mask indeed. It, I mean, there's no other solution until the finalization of the vaccine, and we're seeing great, great promise there. Been announced by a couple of different companies, one being a Cambridge outfit. So that's exciting, and I think that's going to be the long-term solution.
Yeah, and just yesterday, Quincy's own Stop and Shop stepped up and said they'll be one of the first to distribute the vaccine for free once it's available.
Yeah, so good for them.
Yeah. We talked a little bit, Mayor, about the vote by the City Council Ordinance Committee last night to approve the land disposition agreement for the two parcels at the Hancock parking lot.
Yeah, so for the public purposes, we get a lot of development happening in the downtown. But when there's public land involved in the development, we've got to go through a process called a land disposition process, which leads to a land disposition agreement if the council votes that way. So what that does is the two pieces of land left from the Hancock lot, the old Hancock lot, which is hard to picture now when you drive by there, but that big old asphalt surface lot that wasn't much on it. So the last two pieces, so one is on the corner next of Ryan Parkway and McGrath, Revere, wherever that line is, across from the courthouse next to the new O'Connell building. Right. And the other corner is on the other side of the garage, which leads along Revere Road up to the corner of Hancock and Annan. And, so those two parcels now are in the mix for this land disposition agreement with LBC, which built the apartment building on Hancock Street and the Nova Suites. So this is just the first step. Once the council, assuming the council approves because it was unanimous in committee, it then goes to planning department and then certificate of consistency. And there's a number of steps the developer has to meet. Before the final plan would be approved. It has to meet, design guidelines, and certainly we got to deal with parking issues and setbacks and all those other things that fall into the zoning world, But this is purely an agreement between the city and LBC to dispose of the land to them as a designated developer. And then, of course, that, as I mentioned, the process goes from there.
Okay. There was some questions raised about whether or not the developer should post a bond to ensure the project is completed. Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, that's really, we've had these, this isn't our first land disposition agreement.
Right.
So, they're crafted such that if it doesn't happen, the land goes back to the city.
Okay.
So, we've got ways to protect the city in that regard.
Okay. Because it was Fox Rock was brought up as an example for the Ross lot with the delay going on there. What is the status of that?
You're talking about a major hospital entity.
Mm-hmm.
And with the pandemic, they weren't focused on real estate. They were focused on the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So that set us back for a serious amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect coming this spring, that will be behind us. There'll be a deal in place, a lease in place, and they can be talking about foundations probably in by the fall. So that will move forward. I'm comfortable with that. I'm confident in it. But the world, first of all, South Shore, which was part of it, South Shore Medical, not to get too into the details, but Gene Green was the president of South Shore. He was quietly negotiating with Tufts on that other deal, which took him off track of the Brigham deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as we know, he was terminated from South Shore because the board wasn't happy. They didn't know about it.
Right.
So that also cost us some time because, we fall into the South Shore catchment area under the DPH rules. So Brigham and Women couldn't march forward without some kind of an arrangement with South Shore. So between that, the potential tough steel and the pandemic, it set us back, no question. But I think we're going to be in good shape by the spring.
Well, there is site work going on there, I've seen.
Well, the site work over there is mostly related to ours.
Okay.
It's the new roads and the bridge that we're building.
I see.
Which had to happen before they could do anything anyway, technically. So we'll be, as you know, we'll be dedicating the new roads bridge in the spring. So, and then the new neat parcels will be ready to go.
Very good. The LBC projects, would they utilize the current city parking garage for their new apartment buildings?
Well, they have right now they have under lease a number of parking spaces in that garage, which aren't nearly being used. So mm-hmm. one of the thoughts on the table is they keep the same number and then incorporate those spaces that aren't being used into the new buildings they're proposing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So probably a combination of some parking on site yep. of their building and then make up the difference between what they've got left that's available in the Kilroy garage.
I see. And are those the last two parcels available at that lot?
At the Hancock lot, they are.
They are.
Correct.
Okay, yep. So that would fully complete the development of that.
Completes that, and we're moving, as you know, on the other side of the street. So not only on the Ross side, but there's going to be some discussions about Hancock Street. We've got some serious interest in some new buildings on the westerly side of Hancock Street.
Oh.
So exciting.
Can we talk a little bit, Mayor, about the John Adams Presidential Library? Any word from the Boston Public Library about returning the books to the city?
No, we have not heard any more.
Okay.
You know, they did discuss it in executive session at a meeting in September.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is they're probably doing some analysis with their attorneys and see what their options are. And I'm just surmising here, just guessing. I don't think it'll be an easy hand them over. I think they probably have, in their minds, have taken ownership of these and think they're theirs. So I think it's probably going to end up being a little bit of a battle, which I'm up for. I think it'll continue to help us shine the light on the programming that we're talking about. So that's only one portion of what would be the library. We're now working on images. I'll be going to the council in the near future on land acquisition. And we've got a person working very hard on putting together the entity and applying for foundation monies. I think that we'll be successful in seeking and attaining outside sources of money because of the Adams story.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked about, it's so relevant today, even though, you know, we're talking about 250 years ago. And, you know, the story of obviously the anti-slavery position that he held mm-hmm. on principle along with Abigail. Then, of course, the warning of the party system that we've inherited that, you know, he talked about being problematic in the future. And boy, oh boy, those two items are fairly relevant today based on the discussions and the peaceful protests and the riots and you name it. It's been quite a year in many respects. And I think it's even more reason to celebrate the Adams' contributions to our country.
Well, it certainly shows how visionary and forward thinking that they were at that time.
It's incredible.
It really
it's amazing. And you know, I never get enough of that. I love history, and I love that time period in our history. Adams was one of the giants of his time, no question.
Yeah.
Adams, Jefferson, Washington, Hamilton, Madison. I mean, these minds are just incredible coming together at the time. And think about Adams sitting in his law office, right,
mm-hmm.
writing the Constitution for Massachusetts,
that's right.
Which was one of the models for the country's Constitution. What a mind. I read recently somewhere, and I know David McCulley talked about it a number of times, that John Quincy Adams, like, blows everybody else away in IQ.
Mm-hmm.
But John Adams is right up there with him. It's there's a report that was done. I don't know how they do it scientifically, but at any rate,
mm-hmm.
that certainly the genes and that blood, they were brilliant people, and we're better off for it.
Yeah, no question. Appreciate your time as always, Mayor.
Always a pleasure, Joe. Well, enjoy the beautiful fall day.
You as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.